There we go. Here we go. We are live, ladies and gentlemen, back once again. Still trying to figure out the streaming software. There could be some glitches here, but if you're here, I'm here. Let's have some fun. Welcome back to the Talking About Podcast. I'm your host, TW. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to kick it with me. You got so many places you can get your sports entertainment, news information, and hot takes. So thanks for taking a few minutes to kick it with me, all right? Not going to bury the lead here. I had a whole show plan, all right? And then I saw a tweet yesterday that threw everything into a tizzy. But before we get into that, go ahead and hit the like button, okay? So everybody knows you like this video. Hit the subscribe button so you subscribe to the channel. And hit the notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this page. Yesterday was Mother's Day. Shout out to all the moms. We got big love for the moms over here at the Talking About Pod. I love the moms. You should love the moms. But we had, I had a very busy and packed weekend. And like I said, I had a whole show planned. And then I happened to open up my Twitter yesterday. And I see this tweet that just was, it was interesting. It was interesting to say the least. So if you are a fan of wrestling, then you are maybe not a fan of WWE, but you are at least aware of all the comings and goings on in the world of WWE. And so you are aware that Roman Reigns is the top star in WWE, therefore making him pretty much the biggest star in wrestling, right? So I started that just to say, a little video went viral yesterday that kind of stopped the world of wrestling, right? Roman at a... As the top guy typically does, he will close the show for the WWE live crowd by just sending him home with a thank you and a good night, right? Breaks character. Not everybody would break character, but Roman, you know, breaks character. He basically just says, you know, thank you guys for coming out. Get home safe. You know, real, real classy stuff. We like Roman. We love Roman. He's a tribal chief. Acknowledge him. All right. And in this one particular video that was making the rounds on yesterday, it was from a live show, I guess on Saturday in Trenton, New Jersey. And he said a little something that was interesting. He said, he talked about how many times he had performed at this particular building. And he said, I'm transitioning to a new phase of my career. And I may not perform in this building again, something to that effect. And of course, that was huge, right? That caught everybody off guard and by surprise. And the immediate reaction was, Roman's leaving? But that wasn't my immediate reaction. When I first heard that, I thought, you know what? Roman's contract is coming up, and he is letting Vince McMahon know that he has options. I don't blame him, brother, for letting him know he's got options, because don't play yourself. They will play you if you don't get your negotiation skills up. And look, he had to let Vince McMahon know that I could be gone, okay? I could be gone, so pay me like I'm worth. Now, I don't know any financial details of his contract situation. I don't know what he's asking for. I don't know what he's making now. I'm sure it's a lot. But Roman has mentioned before how much he wants his next deal to be, right? So as any smart businessman, he's had his eye on this moment for a while, right? He's had his eye on this moment for a while. And, you know, he's been looking forward to getting his big payday coming up, which he absolutely deserves, right? Like, there's no question that Roman has been the best thing on WWE TV for the better part of 2, maybe 3 years now, right? Like, it's not even debatable. So Roman can pretty much command anything he wants, but that's just the way negotiations work, right? You're going to say what you want. Your person you're trying to make a deal with is going to make a counteroffer, and then you have to make a counteroffer, right? And as a negotiator on either side of the table, the best bargaining chip you have is the ability to walk away, right? At any time, you can be like, I'm good. You're not meeting my terms. I'm good. I'm out, right? Now, if you're Roman Reigns, where are you going to go, right? Where are you going to go? If, from a wrestling standpoint, you're not going to go anywhere else. You're not going to go to AEW because as much as it pains people to hear, AEW is a step down from WWE. It just is. AEW is a step up from a whole lot of places, but not from WWE. It's just a fact. Especially, again, if you're Roman Reigns. If you're somebody who is, you know, not getting any shine on WWE TV, and then you're going to go to AEW and be at the top of the card, then that's a step up, right? But Roman Reigns is at the top of the card in the biggest, richest wrestling company in the world. So there is no step up for him in the wrestling business, except for more money, right? More money or a more favorable contract. And so I had a feeling that this was a very smart, very well-timed negotiating play on behalf of Roman Reigns. And first of all, shout out to that man. That's smart. But it made all of us go a little bit crazy. But we saw some news today from, and listen, there's varying opinions when you say the name Dave Meltzer. Everybody is not a big fan of Dave Meltzer. Everybody's not here for what Meltzer has to say, what Meltzer has to bring to the table. But I think most people would argue he's been right more than he's been wrong. And to be honest, if you put the dots together, if you connect the dots, one of his biggest sources has been Vince McMahon. Like, there's no way you could have that much inside information without, you know, having several conversations with Vince McMahon. So I'm pretty sure that Vince has been feeding Dave Meltzer information over the years. And that's not to say that Vince McMahon fed Dave Meltzer this information, but he's a reputable source within the wrestling rumor realm. Shout out to the wrestling realm. And so a report came out today on the Wrestling Observer Radio where Dave Meltzer was saying that Roman actually is negotiating a new contract. Called that one. And that he is pushing for less dates and less of a work schedule. So he's not going to be playing as many house shows. If this is true, he won't be playing as many house shows. So they may not see him in the arena in Trenton again because they're going to save him for, you know, the TV shows and the bigger arenas, the bigger towns. So if that's the case, then that would kind of make sense. But you have to also think, right, that if Roman is thinking about the next stage of his career, he's thinking beyond working less dates. You got to think that he's also looking ahead to what's really next, as in what's next when he wants to stop getting dropped on his back for a living, right? Not that Roman goes on his back a whole lot, let's be honest about that. But when he wants to stop taking bumps and doing such physical work, it's probably going to be movies, right? Randy Orton said in an interview a couple of weeks ago that Roman Reigns has The Rock's agent on speed dial, right? So that basically means that whenever he wants to, Roman Reigns can pick up the phone and get to Hollywood. And, you know, and The Rock, I'm sure, has made some pretty good connections and a pretty good name that'll get Roman's foot in the door just about anywhere he wants to, right? So whenever Roman decides he's ready to go, he's going to have an opportunity to go. So good for him. But the thing that made wrestling fans' head explode is, what would WWE do without Roman? And I think that's a fair question, right? That's a fair question because I've said this so many times to, you know, anybody who I talk to about wrestling. The strategy that WWE likes to take is that they want to make one person, be it, you know, John Cena, be it Roman Reigns, whoever, so much higher above everyone else that everyone else feels like they don't matter. And that's fine if you can rely on that person who you're building up to be there week after week, month after month, nonstop, keep bringing in the money, right? But in the event that person becomes unavailable, then what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? And I believe we talked about this on the last show, right? Like, WWE has not only built Roman, but they've done so in a way that has belittled everyone else. So the thought of anyone else at the top of the card other than Roman, it just yawn, right? Yawn. There's no way. Who do you care about in WWE right now? Who do you really care about? Now, Cody Rhodes came back at WrestleMania, and Cody Rhodes has a great story that he's trying to fulfill right now. This whole thing about, you know, trying to, you know, get the WWE Championship, the championship that his family was never able to quite get. And that's a great story, right? But once that story is complete, are we still going to be interested in Cody Rhodes? We don't know, right? We don't know. So I don't think you could say that you can replace Roman with Cody, and that's going to be apples to apples in terms of interest from, you know, from the fans, from the kids, from the TV networks, from all of that. I think it's a tough way to book your product, right? Like when you present it so that only one person is important, if that person is ever not there, then you're screwed. So who would take Roman's place if Roman were to go, right? If Roman were to get a phone call and he's like, yo, we got a movie that's, you know, shooting in August and you just got to come, right? It's a paycheck you can't turn down. You know, it's exposure you can't come down. We need you to come to this movie in Hollywood and just be off WWE TV for 6 months. Who would they turn to be at the top of the card? Now, they got a lot of people who are really good, right? Kevin Owens, I think, is amazing, right? Kevin Owens can do anything. Anything they've given Kevin Owens, in my opinion, he's absolutely crushed it. I think he would be a fine choice to be like a top guy. But I don't know if everybody feels that way, right? Like, I don't know if, most importantly, I don't know if Vince McMahon feels that way, right? Because Kevin Owens has a very everyman kind of look, right? Like, not like the, you know, the guy that's on the cover of the trashy novel in the grocery store, right? That's Roman Reigns. Or you let the, you know, he lets his hair down. He can put on one of those flowy shirts. Like, what's the guy's name? Fabio? The old school model. Roman Reigns has that look, right? And I think we're all conditioned to believe that that's what Vince McMahon wants in his top star, right? I think Seth Rollins is dope. I think Seth Rollins can do anything. But can they, you know, tell you a story around Seth Rollins that's going to make him feel as important as Roman Reigns feels now? I believe they can, but they haven't done it, right? They haven't done it, and they also have not protected Seth Rollins in a way where, again, if Roman got abducted by aliens tomorrow, you'd be like, well, it's fine. We still got Seth Rollins, right? Like, they don't have him. I don't necessarily see Seth Rollins as Macho Man to Roman's Hogan, right? I don't see him as necessarily Orton to Roman's Batista, Cena, yes. But yeah, I mean, like, so they've made the gap so wide between Roman and whoever's next that it just, you know, it feels like that's going to be a period of however long Roman's off TV where people are going to be sitting there just looking around going, what is this, right? What is this? Like, who, you know, people think that Austin Theory has big things on tap. People think that they've done a good job building Bobby Lashley, but again, they've minimized Bobby Lashley for Roman Reigns. They've done a good job building Drew McIntyre, but they've minimized Drew McIntyre for Roman Reigns, and Drew McIntyre is probably the next person who's going to take that title for Roman Reigns. But I don't know. I think anybody would be lying to themselves if they said that Drew McIntyre feels like he's as big a deal as Roman Reigns is, because he's not. He's not. It's not even close. So WWE has a cash cow in Roman Reigns, right? Clearly and obviously, but they also have a problem on their hands. They better have some sort of pre-planned transition, right? They got to sit down with Roman and be like, all right, dude, I know you want to eventually go to Hollywood. I know you want to take more dates off. Here's the time when you're going to do that. Let's start getting somebody hot so the fans will still care when you're going away. Because, you know, you can look around. There's, you know, Sasha Banks. There's Roman Reigns. There's, you know, a few people. Everybody don't got that same type of just superstar charisma where you could be like, yo, Hollywood is coming, right? And people say this about Sasha Banks all the time. I'm surprised she's still there, right? Enjoy Sasha Banks while you have her, right? And I think the same can be said for Roman Reigns. I think the same can definitely be said for Roman Reigns because he has the, you know, WWE has propped him up on top of their platform for so long, right? Like Roman's had this run that's going on for, you know, about 2-3 years now. But prior to this, there were still 5 years that they were pushing and pushing and pushing, trying to get Roman to this level. So, you know, Roman's not new on the scene. He's not new on the scene. You know, he's been on this come up for a long time. And you got to think that it's only but so long, so much longer that Roman is going to stay in WWE. So if you're the fans, enjoy him now. If you're WWE, get somebody else ready. Switching gears here a little bit. I am what you might call a masochist. I like pain. But not in that way. The pain I like is the pain of being a New York Jets fan. I know. That is that might as well be the Jets fight song right there. It's just womp 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 because that's basically what life is as a New York Jets fan. And it's wild, man. It's wild. We've been here. Whew, the Jets made the AFC Championship game in 2009 and 2010. And they have not sniffed the playoffs since. The closest they came was 2015, I think. And they were good up until the last week of the season. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick went all Ryan Fitzpatrick. And, of course, they missed the playoffs. And now we're in a place where I think they're going on 12 or 13 years without making the playoffs. And so we are a long-suffering fan base. But it's not like, you know, it's not like magic. It's not like happenstance, the reason why the Jets haven't been making the playoffs. Like, the Jets have been an absolutely horribly run organization. They've been just a very poorly managed group. Like, they've been hiring general manager after general manager who has, you know, come with a 5-year plan to gut the team, get rid of all the bad contracts, draft all their own players, and get new players in here. And Super Bowl, here we come, right? And it just, you know, hasn't been anything close, but it looks like the Jets might actually be on the right track. I can't believe it. I mean, if you watch this past week or the week before the NFL draft, it's been crazy. The Jets drafted 3 players in the first round, and they arguably got the best cornerback in the draft. They got the best receiver in the draft. They got arguably the best running back in the draft and arguably the best defensive end in the draft. I mean, like, who is this? Is this the Jets? Yo, I cannot believe this. Again, like, year after year after year, right? We see just these plans that don't work out. You draft these players and they never become quite what they look like in college. But the Jets finally look like they have a true plan, right? Like they got an offensive tackle, then they got a quarterback, then they got a running back and a receiver, right? Then this offseason, they got a defensive end to rush the passer. They got they solidified the offensive line. They got another receiver. I mean, like, they have really flipped around the talent level in this team in a way that I can't even believe. And you know who I actually want to thank right now? I want to give a big shout out to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals are probably the team sneakily to thank for all these good drafts that teams are having right now. And you know why? You know why we should thank the Bengals? Because the Bengals picked number 1 overall 2 years ago and played in the Super Bowl last year. You know why that matters? That matters because now all of these owners, they know that those 5-year plans are for the birds. Okay, when GMs sit in front of you and tell you they got a 5-year plan to tear it all down and build it back up to get us back to the playoffs, the owners know it don't take that long. It don't take that long. If you sign good players in free agency, that is a plan that is in alignment with what your coach wants to do, right? You sign players that are going to be good for what your team actually wants to do. Not just, oh, hey, Le'Veon Bell, we have a coach that doesn't want you at all, but here's a big old contract. Come on, right? No, you don't do that. You don't do that. You find out what your coach actually wants to do, what they want to execute. The Jets have made it clear. Robert Saleh, the Jets coach, made it clear he wants to run the ball. He wants to play defense. He wants to rush the passer, right? And he wants to have corners that can win on third down. And if you look at the moves that the Jets GM Joe Douglas has made, he has gotten pieces to help them fulfill that. And another thing that this GM has done excellently is he has made it a point that the Jets are going to get an answer, a definitive answer on Zach Wilson. That's right. That's right. Year after year, the Jets seem to draft these quarterbacks high in the draft, and they stink, right? They stink partially because, you know, they shouldn't have been drafted that high, but also because we have all these excuses. Oh, the offensive line wasn't good. Oh, they don't have good players at receiver. You know, this thing, that thing, the supporting cast. And Joe Douglas has fixed all of that. He has fixed all of that. There are no excuses. The Jets need to see some serious, definitive improvement from Zach Wilson this year, or guess what? My man is going to be hitting the road back to Utah. I mean, he doesn't need the money. I mean, I think his uncle invented JetBlue or something crazy. So, you know, Zach don't need the money. But if he can't play quarterback, he ain't going to be here, right? Like Magic Johnson, he ain't going to be here, okay? So shout out to the Jets, man. Shout out to the Jets. I can't believe it. But for once, the New York Jets actually look like they are in position to not be embarrassing. And that's all I want. Just don't be embarrassing. Don't make me turn off my TV on Sundays and be like, this is some bush, okay? My 6-year-old daughter has sworn off the Jets already. She said, Daddy, she got more sense than me. She said, Daddy, I don't like the Jets no more because they don't win. I said, you know what? You smart. You is good. You is smart. You is a better fan than me. Because, I mean, look, yo, I don't know. I'm a fiend. I'm an addict. I'm in an abusive relationship with the New York Jets, but they're giving me some act right. They're giving me some act right now. And so, I'm looking forward to it. One more thing I want to talk about real quick before we get out of here. I have really been, I always tell y'all about the stuff I'm watching. Right now, I am on a binge of Temptation Island. Like, yo, this show is bananas. It's on Peacock if y'all got the Peacock app. And this show is crazy, but that's not what I want to talk about right now. I actually just finished another show that I was binge watching, a show that I was really wrapped up in, had a lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of twists, a lot of turns. It was Ozark, and Ozark has finally come to an end. Give it up for everybody involved with Ozark. That show was, you know, well shot, well directed, well acting. All the characters have, you know, rich layers to them. You know, nobody's innocent. Everybody is smart. Like, it's a really, really, really good show. If you haven't watched it, I definitely recommend checking it out. And I'm not gonna give away no spoilers here, but the show came to an end. I watched the ending, and I gotta say, for as good as Ozark was, for as much fun of a show as that was to watch every week or every couple of weeks, every few episodes, the ending was kind of a dud. The ending was kind of a dud. I just, like, I don't know. I wanted more. I wanted more. Like, the way that it ended, you know, not everybody makes it. I'll say that. Not everybody makes it. I was okay with who didn't make it, but I'm not sure that I was okay with who did make it, right? Because the people that made it deserve to die. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I know that it was kind of a happy ending, and I'm pro happy endings, but I'm also pro endings that make sense. And it kind of made sense, but in this way, it kind of ended in a way where The happy ending is that the bird family gets to go on and be like political monsters. Yeah, I mean, like, it was that, to me, that's not like a, that's not a good thing, you know. Like, honestly, the birds deserve to get it like the lawyer got it at the beginning of season three. And I'm not saying that that's what I wanted to see happen, but at least one of them, right? At least one of them, right? I thought it was going to be Marty. I thought honestly, well, I ain't going to tell you what happened or what doesn't happen. Y'all go ahead and watch it for yourself. But in my opinion, for how good Ozark was, having me wrapped up in it, giving me that feeling, right? That feeling of when I finish watching this episode, when can I get my next fix? When can I get, y'all got any more of them episodes? Can I get some more of them episodes? That's the feeling I would have at the end of Ozark, right? But for the finale, I didn't, man. I didn't. I say I came away from the end of that show just feeling like, all right. I mean, like, for as good and, what's the word? Compelling as this show was throughout the entire series. It just didn't, I don't know, man. It didn't end satisfyingly enough for me. For me, I would still say the best endings to anything that I've seen were, what was the best endings? Oh, absolutely, without a doubt, no questions asked, Avengers Endgame. Duh. Avengers Endgame was probably the best ending to anything I've ever seen. For a TV show, for a series, Insecure. Insecure ended so well. Everything was wrapped up well. It made sense. It was a happy ending, but it was a happy ending that was deserved, right? I can't get behind a happy ending when the person who gets the happy ending doesn't deserve it. And I felt like the people that got the happy ending didn't really deserve it. I don't know. That's just me. That's just who I am. So that's where I'm at. What did y'all think of the finale of Ozark? What are some of y'all's favorite finales that you've ever seen? What did you guys think of this show? Let me know. Hit me at TW Talking About on Twitter. Hit the show at Talking About Pod. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to the show. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you share it with somebody else who would like this conversation. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Bring more people into the conversation. That's the best thing you can do for me. Just real quick, I didn't want to take up too much of you guys' time. Just wanted to get on here and talk my ish real quick. But thank y'all so much. Until next time, I'm TW. Peace.